Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. What I'm going to preach on today will take several Sundays. But I'll just kind of give you the idea today. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, Joshua, and verse number 3. In this Gospel, in this chapter, when the Lord led me to this chapter, I immediately thought I was going to price, I'd be preaching on prophecy. This chapter is written to, this conversation, all Scripture is given for inspiration, doctrine, reproof. And so don't let anybody tell you this part of the Bible don't apply to you, because that's just not what the Bible teaches. Paul made that clear. In some way, it applies to you, or it springboards you to another, Cal, to another portion of Scripture. So well, the law don't apply to me. Yes, it does. It lets you know just how vile you are, how vile I am, and how much I need Jesus. Amen. So if it didn't apply, God wouldn't have put it in here. All right? And so I immediately thought I'd be preaching on prophecy. That's the religiosity in us, because this chapter is about prophecy. Jesus sitting on the mountain with just the 12 apostles. They're all Jews, and he's talking to them. And you need to understand, I want to throw this out there about prophecy. When you read this chapter, in Matthew's Gospel especially, you need to understand that Jesus, in real time, a little over 2,000 years ago, was talking to some Jewish boys. So you need to understand that they didn't have the revelation of the church. They didn't see the 2,000-year church age. They didn't see that. They didn't understand that kingdom that was 1,000 years after it starts at Armageddon. It's 1,000 years long, 7 years after the tribulation of 7 years. And so they didn't see, and so you have to, because there's literally a lot of time between a couple of these verses in here, okay? And so you have to read the whole Bible and sandwich it in. That's all I'm going to say about prophecy. So, verse 3, and they sat on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? When's that going to be? Because everybody wants to know that. First of all, the system is going to be destroyed. Revelation 17, 18 talks about the Babylonian system, the religious and the political. Another story for another day. That's going to be destroyed, but the earth is going to be renovated by fire, because it's God's earth. He redeemed it, and he's not giving to the devil. All right, he said the meek are going to inherit the earth. Go to verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them. Now, if you ask a person a question about a car, Jan, and they don't even mention the car, but they mention the sawmill down the road. That's what we got happening here, okay? And Jesus answered, they've asked about the end of the world, Cal, and Jesus answered, take heed that no man deceive you. That was his first statement. That was the thing he was concerned about the most. We usually get that out first. So it's Patsy. His first words were, take heed that no... They've just asked him about the end of the world, and his first words were, take heed that no man deceive you or trick you or get you on the wrong track. So in other words, I'm going to talk about some tricky waters to navigate. Listen well, Scotty. You understand what I'm saying? He set the context. He said, verse 5, for many... Not just one or two, Martha, but many shall come in my name and say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Remember Paul talked about in first, you don't have to turn there, Joshua, but in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, but after their own lust or desires shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they will find a church that will teach them what they want to hear to justify their own lifestyle. And if you look long enough, you can find one of those churches that will teach you what you want to hear to justify your fleshly decisions. I didn't know what to preach when I surrendered to preach, so I just memorized scriptures, and I thank God for that now. I didn't know how important it would be, but I thank God for that. I want to talk to you today just a few minutes about would the real church please stand up? You don't have to stand up literally, but would the real church please say something? Would it stand up? Because Jesus had just talked in the whole chapter of Matthew chapter 23 about phony people. Phony religious people to make matters worse. Those are tricky waters to navigate. You can get around phony people, and then you can get around phony religious people, but now we'll get to it eventually, but Jude said they've crept in unawares. There are some people to know that's hard to know the difference. You see, 100% Eve, 100% poison is easy to detect. A pack of meat that is starting to spoil, that is completely spoiled, you open a pack of hamburger meat and wood hits you in your face, and you think, whoa, this is bad. Beef, when you smell beef like that, it's bad. Chicken and fish will ruin rather quickly, and there's no question about it, but beef can give off a strong smell, and people, you know, are, whoa, I'm going to get rid of this. Sometimes I eat it because I know it's just kind of curing a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And so, but I wouldn't advise you to take that advice from me. All right, that being said, because they actually throw the best steaks away at the grocery store. Some of you shaking your head, you understand that. Some of you do not. They take them off because they got to sell them because of a date thing. But anyway, we don't want to talk about food because we're all hungry, all right? And so Jesus said, verse 5, for many shall come in my name, and I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, if you open up some fish that's ruined, bam, it'll knock you. It's no question about it. You'll know, whoa, this is bad. But 90% truth and 10% poison is dangerous. Dangerous. Because that 90% truth will pull you in and you will just, well, I guess it's okay because the other, we will factor in the 90% to a greater value and we will allow the 10%. It's tricky navigating. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the only way you're going to process that is to have the gift of God's discernment in you. You're going to ask God to help you. We're going to get to that. We're not going to get to it today. I can go ahead and tell you that right now. But you've got to have the gift of discernment to discern a phony. Remember, I've told you tons of times about Eve, Dwight, that tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. It didn't look bad. It didn't look taboo, Price. It didn't look dangerous or scary. It looked good to her. You can go read it for yourself. But everything that looks good, everything that sounds good, everything that smells good, everything that tastes good to you may not be good for you. And so what we got is Jesus dealing with a bunch of phonies. Now, the words he uses, and I'll try to read some of the verses, but the words he uses predominantly in chapter 23 is words like people that exalt, go to verse 11, 23, 11. People that exalt themselves. They're constantly telling you how wonderful they are. All right, it really gets dangerous when they constantly tell you how close they are to God and how spiritual they are. Really gets dangerous. If you've got to spend an hour convincing a person of how spiritual you are, then I wouldn't listen to that. You understand what I'm saying? They either are or they're not. It's not like a kind of a halfway situation, all right? And so, verse 13, you just kind of travel with me. Verse 12, rather, Joshua, I'm going to go to quick. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, in verse 12 of chapter 23. And you should read chapter 23. Shall him humble himself shall be exalted. If someone just constantly tells you how wonderful they are, how much they know about God, just constantly building themselves up, if you watch for a while, they will go down. But those that humble themselves, God will pick up. Verse 13, and in this verse, he says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shall shut up the kingdom of God against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, ye neither suffer them to enter in either. In other words, they've been a stumbling block because they're a bunch of liars and phonies and hypocrites. My dad went into ministry, and at a young age, I was exposed to many phonies. And I mean phonies that made money at it. As my dad drove a bus a van, a camper for a singing group. Actually, they were a ministry team. And so we sometimes, there were other singers there, and you could tell when they'd take you on their $200,000 bus in the early 70s and show you all this kind of stuff. And you know me, I was a young kid, but I was looking around for other stuff I saw that they shouldn't have had on that bus. Why? Because they were working for Jesus for money, or singing for Jesus for money only, and as quick as they got their check, they were gone. And I could tell stories, horrifying ministry stories. I'm not. I could call names, and I'm not, because you would recognize their names, because they're famous gospel singers. Not now. Not all gospel singers that has a new bus are phonies. You got that? It's called balance. You with me? All right. Verse 14 has got a huge word in it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses in order to take advantage of the weak, and for a pretense you make long prayers. You pray a long time. When I ask the blessing over the food, if I'm hungry, how long do I pray? Not very long. It's time to eat. We're going to have a three-day prayer meeting. Let's come over here in the house of God. You're talking about context. You understand what I'm saying? Have you ever stood hungry while the potatoes got cold, while somebody prayed 13 hours? Can I get an amen? Yes. The context wasn't time to pray. I'm just being real. I mean, are you with me? That word pretense, verse 15. Notice this: woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you can pass the sea and the land. You'll do anything to get one proselyte. In other words, you'll do anything to get somebody on your side to be like you. With Jesus' general idea, he don't want anybody to be like you, but he wants everybody to be like him. You know one of the biggest problems of getting people to come to church? There's hypocrites over there. I ain't going. But first of all, that's not going to fix your eternal problem of going to heaven or hell, okay? Okay? Second of all, the church was full of hypocrites then, it's full of hypocrites now, and 50 years from now, it'll be full of hypocrites. I had one man tell me he wouldn't come to this church because he said, so-and-so's there, and bless God, I ain't coming. Respectfully, Mark, I said, well, what about them other 49 churches in Shelby County? Would you like to attend one of them? He didn't speak to me until I preached his funeral. Anyway, that being said, don't make no pretense. Don't put on no show. We're not in the show business here. You got to go to Hollywood or New York or some other place, Nashville. We're not in the show business program here, all right? And since I was exposed, I didn't know why, but I was exposed to the real and the fake very young, it could have hurt me really bad, but God knew more than I did, and he knew he was going to put me in the ministry, and I can smell them real quick. And I thank God for that. It's protected me a lot. He talks about in verse 16, they're blind, all right? Drop on down to verse number 24. He says, these blind guys, they'll strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Have any of you ever seen a camel up close and personal? I have. I've petted one. I've let my kids ride one for some insane reason. I've let my boys ride one. They wanted to ride a camel at a circus, crazy thing. So we stopped and they rode the camel, and, you know, they're the craziest, stupidest looking things I ever seen in my life. But nevertheless, they're a lot bigger than a gnat. How many of you ever been bit by a gnat? Okay. All right. How many of you ever swallowed a gnat camping or fishing? Amen. There you go. How many of you ever swallowed a camel? It's going to take you a little while. Now, we could swallow him here. You know, it may just take us a little while, but we'll get him down. But that's out of balance. Overthinking some little small issue, just obsessed, bless God, with where Joseph is sitting. He needs to sit over here. Well, why? He's comfortable right there. I mean, bless God. Don't worry about that, all right? There's just some things you don't need to worry about. But the religious people worry about stupid stuff. I actually preached in a church. I only got to preach one time. But I actually preached in a church that had a changing room in the foyer. They had men's clothes and women's clothes. If you wasn't dressed properly to walk in their church, they'd meet you, had a person at the door. I'm telling the gospel truth. I could call the name of the church. You wouldn't know it. It's in miles and miles away from here. And if you was not, you didn't look suitable to come in their church, they'd make you change clothes. And some clothes that may have lice. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to just put on anybody's clothes. Am I telling the truth, Miss Carrie? But that pastor did cook some good shrimp, though. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he cooked some good shrimp. But I didn't get invited back. Why? Well, I'll let you figure that out. Amen. The Lord sent me there to preach the truth. I did what God told me to do. I have no question about it. I didn't get in the flesh and say, you crazy, and this is crazy, and y'all all crazy is what I thought about saying. But I didn't. I just read from Galatians. Takes care of it right there. Bam. You know, the Bible, just read this chapter, and it kills the whole dressing room. You understand what I'm saying? What kind of clothes you wear is not going to get you to heaven. Not going to make you more spiritual. Some folks think it is. They spiritual. They put their spirituality on every morning. Can I get a witness? Amen. Might as well say amen. It's the truth. I've come to the realization it ain't me that people don't like. It's what I say that they don't like. But I didn't write the Bible. All right, verse number 24, we've got to move on. Verse 24, woe unto you scribes and hypocrites. Here's what you do. You make the outside of the cup and the outside of the platter. That's where your stuff you're going to drink is and your stuff you're going to eat is. But within it's full of extortion and excess. Now, what good is it going to do to wash a muddy cup on the outside? Still ain't going to drink. I'd rather drink with mud on the outside than the inside. Y'all with me? And that's what religious folk do. They just try to, they're doing better. Well, they're doing better. Praise God. When are they going to undo better? Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. I'm in verse 27 now. Woe unto you, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but are within full of dead men's bones. See, some people, they want you to, they come strolling all up in here with their new clothes on. You feel me? Rudy, well, you cut it off. Rudy had his flashlight on, shining in the eyes. I just had to tell him. He's a boner, you know what I'm saying? That's the way we do stuff, all right? So, anyway, he getting some light on the subject, amen? So my videos won't be dark. Folks be asking me on Facebook, is that you, Brother Scotty? Well, hopefully we got that problem solved today, all right? Anyway. Just be who you are. I'd rather people just be that way. I'm Brother Scotty. I'm not going away until Jesus takes me somewhere else or calls me home. Okay? And I'm going to be fair preaching from the rest of my life. All right? You can walk around my cabin if you want to. You probably need to exercise. If you're down there eating, you lose it, you gain any weight, you probably need to exercise. But I'm going to be down there. You understand what I'm saying? Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They found out I was faithful this year because the wind and the rain and, dear God, it was so much noise you couldn't even sound check. Angela, Micah called me and said, Daddy, I don't know what we're going to do. I said, well, we're going to have church. He said, I don't know if you're going to have it in this building because it's going to blow it away. I said, well, I'll just open the window in my Hummer and holler out it. Praise God, we're going to have church. You just got to be who you really are, okay? Now, you might be respectful to folks. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Be respectful to people. But don't be a phony. Just don't do that. That's not cool. Jesus talked worse about them than I did. He called them snakes, vipers, hypocrites, everything else. He was nicer about it than I am. So would the real church just be real? We're human beings. But don't go out and say, well, I'm going to go commit me a bunch of sins because that's just what I want to do. Well, that's what you need to do. Then you just go right ahead, but I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Two things. It's already been tried. Okay, didn't work out too good, especially if you belong to the Lord. If you don't belong to Him, you might get on down the road pretty good. Well, you'll see it. But if you belong to Jesus, you're not going to work out too good. And number two, you may walk out of here and go commit you up a bunch of sins, but you will limp back. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? And being a phony is just being a phony. And if you're a phony, most people know, some are real good at it. Some are real good. I'm going to read you a story in Joshua. It's one of the best cons I've ever read. And so, not today, we don't have time. But I'm just telling you today, just be real, okay? Be real. Something's messed up in your life. Had a guy come talk to me, just as sincere as he could be the other day about joining this church. I said, you want me to be honest with you? He said, that's why I asked you. I said, you like it straight or you like it mixed? He said, I like it straight. I said, now I'm going to run the risk of offending you, but I'm going to shoot it to you straight. I shot it to him straight. He took it. He's still coming to this church. He wants to hear what I got to say about life. I said, now, here's the order you need to do this in. And if you do it in this order, God's order, it'll be real, it'll be right, and you'll come out right on the other end. Smart choices are cheaper than dumb choices. Can I get an amen? All right, stand up on your feet.